Many Americans are worried about the government these days. That's usually the case when there's a party change in the White House and wide policy reversal. But it's also an opportunity for the career workforce to step up, renew its commitment to great service to citizens. We get more now from Mallory Barg-Bowman, Director of Research at the Partnership for Public Service. And I guess, Mallory, it's safe to say that in the last few weeks, there's been some distraction for the federal workforce.
Yes, no, I think that's certainly true. And good morning, Tom. One of the things that was interesting this week that came out is the American Customer Satisfaction Index, which looks at citizen satisfaction with government and also customer satisfaction with a number of private sector industries, actually showed a 4-point increase this year in how citizens felt towards government. And also, really interestingly for this week, the increase was really driven by satisfaction with HHS, and particularly with the healthcare.gov website. So that's really something for the new administration to think about as they talk about any changes to the Affordable Care Act. You know, more citizens are using it, and it sounds like are using it with great satisfaction at this point.
Well, I guess, yeah, the policy could be changing. I mean, it's still too early to tell what Congress will do. We know what the president has done. But perhaps that lever, that mechanism that they've built, could be used for another policy purpose, but still work well, I suppose.
I think that's right. And part of this is really framing the work of government around customers. And you know, with the president being a businessman and bringing a lot of folks from industry into government, these are well-established practices in the private sector. In fact, Jack Welch is known for saying the first most important thing is employee engagement. Get your employees committed to the organization. And the second is customer satisfaction. And you look at a lot of leading private sector organizations who really focus on customers. You talk about Disney, who talks about having guests instead of visitors or tourists. There really is a strong sense of customer service in the private sector. So as more folks from industry come into government, I have a hope that there's really a focus on the citizen, on what people are getting out of the services that they receive from government.
So how does that translate into what, say, incoming management appointed level might do, and what the existing standing career workforce might do in dealing with the incoming management?
Three primary things, Tom. The first that the Partnership for Public Service has said is managers need to empower employees to do the right thing for their customers. We find time and time again that almost every federal employee really wants to do the right thing by citizens. And often they bump up against some rigid rules. They need to know that they're going to be supported if they're doing things to make the experience better for citizens. And that's a message and a tone that can come directly from the top, whether your citizen, whether the customer of the organization is veterans or, you know, depending on who that is, it's really making sure that that is the focus of the organization, is the end customer. The second is helping employees get exposure to their customers, whether it's through rotations with direct citizen-facing parts of the organization, or what we call user personas, where they start to talk about which type of citizens use the services of the organization. And the third part, I would say, is measurement. You know, we always say whatever gets measured gets done. When customer experience is built into the performance expectations of employees at all levels, it's more likely to be a focus of the organization.
We're speaking with Mallory Barg-Bowman, the Director of Research at the Partnership for Public Service. That all sounds good, and it's hard to disagree with, but it can get into some troublesome situations when the constituency that you're serving maybe is not one where you're providing benefits to which someone is entitled, but, say, providing permission to an entity that you regulate.
I think that's right, but I think some of the practices can be the same in terms of listening to the customer, understanding what the experience is like. Now, realize, you know, and as you're pointing out, not all services provided by government or not all of the outcomes of government are services. It can be, you know, creating the rules and regulations, that type of thing. But I think making sure that there's clarity there is really important. Also, there's a piece of treating the employees within the organization as customers in and of themselves. A lot of the parts of government are internally focused, making sure that federal employees can get their jobs done. Those people are customers as well.
I'm thinking of a place like the EPA, which seems to be really at the central, in the center of the big storm going on about, you know, what is the future of government? What are future policies? And we don't have a confirmed administrator yet, although I believe he cleared committee, Scott Pruitt. So the question is, how would you deal with a workforce that feels like its life's work is about to be undone. We don't know whether that's the case or not, but that's how they feel.
Right. And I think it's really important to acknowledge exactly what you just said. We did a survey of federal employees during the week of inauguration. And one of the questions that we asked was, what makes you stay in federal service? And the number one response was the ability to contribute to my agency's mission. So exactly what you just said is critical. It's making sure that people feel that they can make a difference. Employees at the EPA care deeply about making a difference for the environment. I think you're absolutely right that when there's a conflict between the ideology and the practices of the incoming leadership and the work and the mission of the agency, I think you're naturally going to see a point of conflict. The other question we asked, though, in that survey is, do you plan on working for the federal government this time next year? And by and large, the vast percent of individuals said yes. And you know, you do have a workforce here who's deeply committed, who really understands the needs of the country and the issues that they've been working on in many cases for decades. So I'm hopeful that incoming leaders will take the time when they start at these agencies to sit down and meet with the career workforce and get a better understanding. You know, certainly we've heard things as part of the confirmation process, but there is still time. People can have a chance when they come into these agencies to meet with folks, to listen, and start to rebuild some of that trust that's been eroded during some of the campaign.
Maybe a good way to start is to put down what everyone agrees on a whiteboard. Even a Scott Pruitt, and I'm not that familiar with his detailed philosophies, but the EPA exists because Congress created it, and it operates under a set of enabling laws that go back many, many years. So really the question is the interpretation of how they carry out the laws, not whether they should be regulating air and water cleanliness. So there's a huge area where probably everyone agrees, but nobody has really talked about that territory. All they talk about is the extreme examples.
I think that there's a real opportunity right now, as I think you're pointing out, for education about what the government does and what each of these agencies do and don't do and the impact it has on people's lives. And I suspect, you know, as you're saying, there's more room for agreement than people think at this point. But I think that there's still going to be some time there to see how that plays out.
Yeah, things are pretty raw in some agencies. On the other hand, probably seen examples where it's kind of business as usual and not that much changes. I'm thinking of, say, like Social Security.
The Social Security Administration is another interesting area. You have a large number of federal employees at the Social Security Administration, particularly in the senior executive service ranks, who are retirement eligible right now. So an agency like the Social Security Administration, while they may not have policy differences from the incoming administration, things like the hiring freeze or any plans to shrink the federal government through attrition are going to hit Social Security Administration in a particularly hard way. That's also particularly bad timing because, as you know, with demographics, the Social Security Administration's workload is only going to be going up in the coming year. So really some areas to think about there as well from an administration perspective.
And, of course, the guidance that has come out since the freeze was imposed, detailing what is exempt and what isn't, I see holes there you can drive a truck through.
Absolutely. And I think there are certainly tons of exceptions right now to the hiring freeze. And it's also only temporary until OPM and OMB issue plans for a larger restructuring of the federal government. But the guidance that's in there is that those plans should include plans to shrink the federal government through attrition. And so thinking about what that really means, the places where there's likely to be greater amounts of attrition, that seems to me to not be the best way to make things happen. That what you want to be able to do is really look at, you know, a smart resizing and reorganization instead of just hoping things will shrink through attrition.
So make your lemonade from your lemons instead of crying into it.
There you go.
Mallory Barg-Bowman is Director of Research at the Partnership for Public Service. As always, thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Tom.
And we'll post this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.